Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. We open up with the music of Ira Sullivan and Simon Sauls on guitar, among others. Coming up later on the program, Charles Greenfield speaks with the founding artistic director of Seraphic Fire, Patrick Dupre Quigley, about their exciting new concert season. Judith Bishop introduces us to the Miamian, starring in Broadway Across America's presentation of Rock of Ages, opening up next week at the Arsht. And today's calendar features Andy Wagner with Andy Newman, with Enticing It's Catching, events in the Florida Keys. For your consideration. Andy, will you be in the Florida Keys? In 2008, the city of Sunny Isles Beach jumped into the jazz festival business, producing their first American music festival throughout their city on the Atlantic Ocean. Now in its fifth year, the Sunny Isles Beach Jazz Fest has grown to present 3 days of jazz in numerous venues: the Aqualina Resort and Spa, Piazzetta Marketplace and Restaurant, Soleil on the Ocean, and their cozy Heritage Park on the Atlantic. Produced by the City of Sunny Isles Beach and Sunny Isles Beach Tourism and Marketing Council, the festival benefits in part Joshua's Heart Foundation, which seeks to build awareness and support for their efforts to end hunger. And with us today to tell us more is the Executive Director of the Sunny Isles Beach Tourism and Marketing Council, Ms. Ibis Romero. And welcome back to the show, Ibis.
Thank you, Ed. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you so much. You're so relaxed to be 1 week before the tumultuous big production, but that tells me a lot. Things are going along very well. And Ibis, with so many other themes available, why did the Sunny Isles Beach choose to produce an annual jazz festival? What's so significant about
that style of music? Yeah, that was the interest of our commissioners and our mayors in Sunny Isles Beach. They all love jazz. And when I came on board, that was the first homework assignment I got. Mm. And we just love it. You know, we have such incredible talent right here in South Florida mm-hmm. that it's just, you know, a thing to do. It was a perfect match. You know, you're on a beach and you're listening to wonderful jazz, you know, especially local jazz that's so great here. So it's
sure
great.
Is.
Yeah.
It's a natural. Now, in these economically lean times, tell us about your sponsors and presenters. Was it hard getting everybody online to take
care
of this?
No, not at all. You know, it's our fifth year, so everybody's actually knowing and has learned about Sunny Isles Beach Jazz Fest. Mm-hmm. So this year we were very lucky. We are presented this year by Regalia, which is a limited edition living. It's a new development going up in Sunny Isles Beach. We're going to be sponsoring our VIP tent on Saturday night with Aquapana and San Pellegrino. And on board, we also have Atlantic Broadband that has been a partner with us for the last 5 years, and we thank them every day for partnering with us. We have Fiat of North America. It's going to be the car for the event, BB&T Bank, Heineken Beer, and Barefoot Wines that have also been with us for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we're very lucky to have so many sponsors that have been with us year after year.
Bravo to these great sponsors for supporting this wonderful endeavor and supporting ultimately American music, jazz. We really appreciate that. How about some of your presenters?
Our presenters this year, we're working with Sirius Radio, mm-hmm. and they're going to be the MC for Saturday night.
Ah.
They were here last year, and they really enjoyed it, and they wanted to come back, and they asked if they can be the MC, and that's what we're going to be doing this year.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, only Sirius presenting?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's get into the artists. You've got such a wonderful list this year, and you have, what, 4 or 5 different venues, huh?
Yes, we're very lucky this year. We added a new venue, which is Saturday day from 12 to 4. We're going to have a jazz barbecue on the beach with Oriente.
Fun.
Yeah, at Fun. Soleil on the beach, Soleil on the Ocean. We're very excited. This is probably something that we needed to add, and it's going to really make it a fun week and a really full weekend of jazz.
You like barbecue?
I love barbecue.
What's your favorite, Kansas City or North Carolina?
You're going to get me in trouble.
I go for the Kansas City. I like the tomato base. But hey, North Carolina's got great barbecue too. What can I say? So a number of venues. Let's start out Friday, next Friday, October 12th, from 8 until 11. You all will open up at the Aqualina Resort with Tony Sona Trio and Gail Robin.
Yes, we're very lucky. This is the second year that he's worked with us. He's wonderful, and we're happy to have Gail with him. Mm-hmm. And they are going to – well, Tony's going to be interviewed at Tracy Field's show on Monday night.
Great, on the Evening Jazz.
Yeah, the Evening Wonderful. Jazz. So we're very excited about that.
Now, these are, of course, our ticketed events. So you want to go on the SunnyIslesBeachJazz.com website to find out all the specifics. Saturday, October 13th, starting at noon, is this wonderful jazz barbecue on the beach. So I can wear my jammies there, huh?
Yeah, I guess you can. You can get a room there and come out in your pajamas, right? And get on the beach and relax with a Heineken beer and some barbecue.
Now, Oriente will be performing at the Soleil on the Ocean. Oriente, a great band. I liken them to a heavily jazz-influenced and R&B-influenced Santana.
Oh,
type
yeah.
of band, mm-hmm, led by mm-hmm. Eddie Balzola on guitar. Wonderful band, and I'm so glad they're still with us. That's no cover charge there, and food, of course, is available
right,
for purchase.
Right.
Now, the main gates open up at 5:30, I understand, with a new addition to your performing
yes,
list.
Yes, we are going to have the FIU Faculty Quartet.
Oh, great.
They're going to be on at 6 o'clock, so please come early to enjoy them. And this year, again, we have four acts instead of three, so we are getting bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. I dare say that's probably Gary Campbell and Mr. Owsley on bass, Jamie Owsley, and probably Nikki Orta on drums, and Rodolfo Zuniga, who leads their drum department, if I'm not mistaken. Don't go out and buy a lotto ticket on me. So that starts at 5:30, and that officially begins the 5th Annual Sunny Isles Beach Jazz Fest. Your headliner, David Benoit. You'll also have the great South Florida jazz legend Ira Sullivan and the wonderful Brazilian vocalist Rose Max and Ramatis on guitar with their Brazilian jazz band featuring Dorio Ferreira. Now, I'm not familiar with Dorio, but Rose and Ramatis are amazing. They are just amazing. And Heritage Park is located at 19200 Collins Avenue. It's rain or shine. And tell us a little bit about Heritage Park.
Heritage Park, it's a brand new park. It's been open about a year and a half now. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely stunning. We have a built-in stage, mm-hmm. and it's just beautiful, you know, right across the water, right mm-hmm. by the bay, by Biscayne Bay, the intercoastal. People love it. It's a lot bigger than our original park, which was Sampson Park, which was on the east side of the street. And last year was the first time we used Heritage Park, and it's just spectacular. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, here you are in this beautiful surroundings, listening to jazz and sipping some wine and
wow.
eating really good food. So it's just a wonderful brand new venue that we have.
Maybe next year you'll have concerts in both the old park and Heritage Park.
You never know. You never know. I mean, look at, you know, how we're growing. You know,
it's wonderful.
We have a Saturday Day event. We have an extra artist coming in. So we're very happy. Who knows?
Sunday, October 14th, the festival wraps up with a buffet brunch featuring the Frank Axtell Quartet at the Alba Seaside Italian at Soleil on the Ocean. And that is a ticketed event. Once again, find out more info at SunnyIslesBeachJazz.com. Ooh, a buffet brunch with jazz.
Yes.
Isn't that fun?
Or they can also call 305-792-1600.
Great. And new website. You've got Tony Mendoza, the artist, for your new poster, which is just gorgeous, I think.
I'm sorry. I have to repeat the number.
It's
305-792-1706.
Mm-hmm. 1706.
Right.
And once again, for more information, go to their website at SunnyIslesBeachJazz.com or SunnyIslesBeachMiami.com. ibisromero.com for the Sunny Isles Beach Tourism and Marketing Council and Ibis Romero. Once again, it's so delightful to have
you
on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good luck. This is a marvelous affair, and bravo for supporting great American music.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ed.
Founded in 2002 by artistic director and conductor Patrick Dupre Quigley, South Florida's nationally renowned choral group Seraphic Fire has planned yet another exciting performance season. Here's our classical arts contributor Charles Greenfield to tell us more.
Seraphic Fire, South Florida's fully professional chamber choir, has emerged in the last decade as the region's leading provider of top-notch Renaissance, Baroque, and contemporary choral concerts. Their imaginative and innovative repertoire has included Monteverdi's Vespers of 1610, six motets by J.S. Bach, Scarlatti's Missa La Stella, and Stabat Mater, and Handel's Messiah, one of the region's most popular Christmas events. Proof of their growing importance in the South Florida musical community was Seraphic Fire's exciting inclusion with Michael Tilson Thomas and the New World Symphony in the well-acclaimed Schubert Mass in E-flat. In 2007, armed with a $250,000 Knight Foundation grant to start a chamber orchestra, they created the Firebird Chamber Orchestra that debuted at the Arts Center's Knight Concert Hall in October 2008. This past year, the ensemble's recordings, Brahms' German Requiem and A Seraphic Fire Christmas, were nominated for two 2012 Grammy Awards. Seraphic Fire was the only choir in North or South America to be nominated, and the only classical ensemble in the world to be nominated for two separate projects. Seraphic Fire is also committed to educational outreach. The Miami Choral Academy, Seraphic Fire's inner-city education initiative, aims to change lives of underprivileged children by offering daily after-school choral music instruction at disadvantaged Miami-Dade County public elementary schools. The program currently serves 200 children in five after-school choirs. Seraphic Fire launches their ambitious 2012-13 season with eight monthly concerts starting October 17th with Americana choral favorites and concluding May 12th with Cathedral Classics. Their always sold-out Handel's Messiah plays December 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. The venues are Coral Gables First United Methodist Church, the Miami Beach Community Church on Lincoln Road, St. Jude Melkite Catholic Church in Miami, All Saints Episcopal Church in Fort Lauderdale, and St. Gregory's Episcopal Church in Boca Raton. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk to Seraphic Fire's founding artistic director, Patrick Dupre Quigley, recipient of the 2004 Robert Shaw Conducting Fellowship, a graduate of Notre Dame and Yale School of Music, about Seraphic Fire and the 2012-13 season. Patrick, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Tell us about the two 2012 Grammy nominations. It must be so satisfying after a decade of hard work to be recognized both locally and nationally without being too modest, considering the tough competition out there. What did the judges hear in your performance that made the difference?
I think that there's a particular sort of character of passion that the singers of Seraphic Fire really put into all of their performances, and that it comes through very clearly both in the Brahms Requiem disc, which was nominated for Best Choral, and for our Seraphic Fire Christmas disc, which was nominated in Best Small Ensemble.
Now, you're releasing a new recording in November. You have a three-year partnership with Naxos. What's that about?
Well, starting on October 1, Naxos will be distributing Seraphic Fire's in-house label, Seraphic Fire Media, for the next 3 years. And so we'll be everywhere that Naxos is. It's pretty great and a great honor to be on the catalog of sort of the world's largest independent classical music distributor.
Now, you start your season October 17th through the 21st with Simple Gifts, a clear reference to Aaron Copland. Is this just a simple tribute to Americana and its hymns, or are you seeking something else?
I think we're seeking something else. I think one of the great things about contemporary American music that sets it apart perhaps from its European counterparts is this concept of simplicity, in the way that Copland and Barber and many of their contemporaries really embraced the simplicity that was really embodied by the Shakers. That line really traces itself all the way through to contemporary American music in a way that sets it apart from any other sort of cultural tradition of music.
Now, November 14th through the 18th, you're gearing up for the Bible's enormous influence on choral music.
Yes, well.
Namely, the Book of Psalms. There's Monteverdi, Bach, Virgil Thompson, Paco Bell. What's up with King David?
Well, you know, it's amazing when you go through the choral literature and just see, first, of course, so much of it is based on sacred texts, but so many of those sacred texts come from the Book of Psalms. I think it's convenient that they were meant to be sung in the first place, but they're also such beautifully illustrative pieces of text and art in and of themselves. And so we figured it was about time for us to truly dedicate an entire program to the Book of Psalms.
Now, the Christmas holidays are celebrated starting December 12th through the 16th with your 2012 Grammy Award selections. What is the origin of this tradition for Seraphic Fire? And it sure doesn't hurt to have candlelit a cappella singing wafting through the crisp tropical air.
Yes, indeed. It's a little less chilly here than it would be anywhere else. But we take the idea of Christmas for thousands of years really started with silence. Silence at on the midnight hour of Christmas Day rather than the day after Thanksgiving in department stores. And so we take that as our inspiration, starting with Gregorian chant and working our way through sort of the beautifully meditative and illustrative music that's been written for this time over the same number of time of years.
Some composers you want to throw out?
There's traditionally, we'll sing, of course, Elizabeth Poston's Jesus Christ, the Apple Tree, which has become a Seraphic Fire standard for Christmas. I think that you'll probably hear something of Morten Lauritsen, perhaps his Omanium Mysterium, which was on our Grammy-nominated disc, which many people have said is probably the reason we were nominated that year for that disc. And many other favorites, again, starting with a couple of the pieces that are always heard. You'll always hear, O Come All Ye Faithful, Adeste Fidelis, every year. So some real beautiful, wonderful pieces of music on that program.
Now, it appears you're back to your blockbuster tradition of Handel's Messiah.
Hallelujah, yeah.
December 21st through the 23rd at three of your locations in Boca Raton, Coral Gables, and Fort Lauderdale. How do you compare your version of Handel to the larger versions out there? And I imagine you are more in the tradition of Handel himself.
Right. So Handel probably had more people in his orchestra than he did in his choir. And we are exactly the same. We have 18 players and 17 singers. The soloists come out of the chorus. And so it's a bit of a fleet version of the Messiah. Very quick we do. Once we're an hour in, you'll hear the Hallelujah chorus, and at 75 minutes, the last strains of the Amen come through. It's been a sold-out performance since 1743, so I think it'll probably continue today.
You continue that tradition.
Indeed.
January 16th through the 20th returns to basics and the medieval tradition, Gregorian chant, and then Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, which you present February 22nd through the 24th with the Firebird Chamber Orchestra. That's a classic. I think of Jesse Norman and When I Am Laid in Earth.
Yes.
How important is this work? And let's talk quickly about the Gregorian chant to Purcell.
So, as you said, we're starting out with Gregorian chant. Both of these programs are very special to me. My undergraduate degree is in musicology. I studied chant at Notre Dame. Growing up Roman Catholic and being a Catholic church musician, Gregorian chant is at the very heart of the music that I've been making since I was a child. Moving from there, another piece which has very special significance, Dido and Aeneas, was what I did my master's thesis project on at Yale. I've performed the piece. I think this will be my fourth go at it. So it is such an incredible, incredibly well-constructed piece of music and so passionate. It's really the first truly English opera, and it's only an hour long, but it packs such a punch in the dramatic content of the work.
Perfect for Seraphic Fire.
Yes, indeed.
Vivaldi and soprano Catherine Mueller, also supported by the Firebird Chamber Orchestra, March 20th through the 24th. Give us a context for this grouping, and what is special about Catherine's voice?
Catherine Mueller, who we've recorded with on a number of occasions, particularly a disc of Bach that came out last year, she's a pretty amazing singer and really has everything that a Vivaldi soprano needs. Agility, beauty, the ability to toss off sort of these coloratura roulades with incredible ease. And I'm excited to be able to tell you on this show, you get the scoop on this, is that joining her on that program will also be Billy Hunter, who's the principal trumpet at the Met. And so they will be doing, in addition to some Vivaldi works, they'll be performing Bach's incredible Cantata 51, Jauchzigkeit in All in London. And so I think people will be in for one of those incredible once-in-a-lifetime musical experiences by coming to this program.
Well, we're going to roulade along, and you can conclude the season April 10th through the 14th with the Golden Age of Spain, May 8th through the 12th with Cathedral Classics. Briefly describe these concerts.
The Golden Age of Spain, it's one of our anniversaries of Delay on Discovering Florida, and so we are integrating the music of the Spanish court that would have been ringing in their ears as they came across the water. And then to close our season, we're allowing our audience to choose their favorite pieces of all of choraldom in Cathedral Classics. It's pretty much the greatest hits of all of choral music. If you like Allegri's Miserere or Randall Thompson's Alleluia, it will be sung during that program.
What a great conclusion. Thank you, Patrick, for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure. Always fun.
Seraphic Fire is no longer the brash young musical group making waves in South Florida. It has now become a force to reckon with locally and nationally with its iTunes success. Artistic director Patrick Dupre Quigley has a bold vision for music making in the community and in cyberspace. With the Firebird Chamber Orchestra and a robust schedule, the future seems rosy indeed. Seraphic Fire and the Firebird Chamber Orchestra can be contacted at 305-285-9060, their website seraphicfire.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
You can email Charles Greenfield at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Andy Newman has enticing suggestions for you regarding arts and cultural events in the beautiful Florida Keys. Right now, our theater contributor Judith Bishop introduces us to a Miamian starring in Broadway Across America's presentation of Rock of Ages, opening on stage at the Arsht next week.
Some performers learn their craft. Others are born that way, born with star quality, and they simply refine their talents along the way. Young Dominique Scott played classical piano and performed at the Chopin Foundation's annual event. He was on stage in four regional productions, shot three commercials, and all of this before he even graduated from middle school. Next, this young man from Miami attended the New World School of the Arts, where he once again did it all. Acting, music, dance, and even circus feats, including the trapeze. Next, Dominique headed for Syracuse University, where he studied jazz and directing. On stage, he managed to hit all the high notes and played all the coveted roles. He was Jean Valjean in Les Mis, good old reliable Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls, and had major roles in Jesus Christ Superstar and Beauty and the Beast. In New York, Dominique fronted his own rock band. It had a great sound and a catchy name. They were called Dominatrix. Currently, he's on a national tour, starring in Rock of Ages. The mega hit opens right here in Miami on October 9th at the Arsht Center, where this hometown boy will rock on and kick off Broadway in Miami's new season. Dominique, thank you for joining us and welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. After crisscrossing the country, you're finally coming back to your hometown. Every performance, I think, in live theater is special to some degree. But what emotions are you going to feel when the curtain goes up right here in Miami?
You know, actually, it's funny because when thinking about going back to your hometown, like a lot of people would expect, oh, you know, you must be so excited to play the theater that you've always, that you grew up, you know, seeing shows at. But I've actually never stepped foot into the Arts Center because it's so new. Actually, when I was growing up, if I went to go see like a Broadway show, I remember my dad would take me to, you know, Broward Center up in Broward or over to, you know, Orlando at the car rental center over there. So I've never seen a show there because when I graduated from New World School of the Arts, and I think 06 was their initiation year, like when it first opened, so I really have never seen anything there. So I'm really excited, first of all, to be home with my parents and my dog and, you know, my friends to come see the show. Most of them have seen the show already, but I'm excited for the Miami crowds, I think most importantly, to see the show because, as we all know, Miami is one of the wildest cities in the nation, and this is one of the wildest shows ever to be written for, you know, theater. And so I think that those two combinations will blend nicely, and I'm really excited, you know, to be home and to be able to play the Arts Center for the first time, to step in. It's funny that I'll be playing it instead of seeing a show there, but, you know, it's great. Life's great.
Well, I think you're going to have a pleasant surprise. It's a first-rate venue, excellent in every way.
I've heard.
Rock of Ages is really the perfect blend. It's Broadway meets rock and roll. You star as Drew. Tell us, who is Drew and what's his story?
Well, Drew is a 23-year-old kid who moves out to a big city to be a rock star, essentially. You know, he's got just big dreams, and not different from me at all, actually. You know, that when I booked the show, that's exactly what I was. I had moved out to New York City, and I was waiting tables. Drew is, you know, a barback on the Sunset Strip in L.A., and but I was in New York City waiting tables there and practicing with my band and auditioning. And then in the show, Drew gets his big shot. One day he gets an opportunity to open for one of the biggest bands ever at the Bourbon Room, and things kind of take off from there. And that's kind of what happened to me too. You know, I was doing my thing, you know, touring with my band or whatnot, but then I booked Rock of Ages, and then all of a sudden I started playing for crowds of, you know, 3,000-4,000 people a night. In fact, just 2 weeks ago we played for our biggest audience. It was 6,000 people in one venue, in one show, which was, you know, I mean, to see 6,000 people at the end of a show just standing up and screaming and dancing, I mean, there's nothing quite like it.
Everybody wants to be a rock star, and you actually get to do it. I always joke, in my next life, I want to be Bruce or Mick Jagger, but you get to live that fantasy. About Drew, is he modeled about any particular rock star, or is he a composite or purely fictitious?
No, not him. There's a character called Stacey Jacks that was played by Tom Cruise in the movie, and he's more like the modeled 80 rock star. He's more, a little bit more of a caricature. You'll see a lot of those 80 big front men in that character. But Drew's more just an innocent kid, just a guy, you know, a regular guy who moves out to a city and who has it in him, who has definitely the potential to be a big 80s, you know, frontman, but unfortunately lacks the confidence and, I guess, the means at the start of the show, at least, to do that.
The plot's a variation on the old theme of boy loves girl, boy might lose girl, and the listeners are just going to have to see the play and find out what happens. But along the way, what are some of the major plot twists and turns?
I don't want to give too much away because, to be honest, there's not that much to give away. It's a pretty straightforward story. But, you know, Drew meets a girl, and it's love at first sight. I think for maybe the both of them, and definitely for Drew. But he ends up losing her to, just by means of, like, miscommunication. You know, they go on a date, and he accidentally says they're friends, and she takes that the wrong way. And then so she gets with somebody else, and, you know, he loses her. And essentially what the surrounding theme of the play is, don't stop believing in your dreams and trying. And what Drew has to figure out is what he wants in life. Does he want to be the big rock star, or does he want the girl? You know, because those were kind of two separate paths for him. And you know, and I feel like that's a big theme in everybody's life. You know, trying to figure out what your dreams are. You know, and pursuing that. That's, I think, the biggest theme of the show, and the biggest battle that Drew has to go through is finding out what he wants in life.
You mentioned Don't Stop Believing, which brings me to my next question. Some of the music is from Journey. What other rock anthems and big rock stars are included in the score?
No, we got everybody. I mean, you walk out of there feeling like you listen to every song written in the 80s. We've got Poison, Journey, Foreigner, Whitesnake, Styx. I mean, we've got all the best songs.
You've got Bon Jovi and Joan Jett as well, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. The only person we don't have is Def Leppard because we didn't get the rights. It's a joke, actually, in the show that, you know, we weren't able to get the rights when the show came out. But you'll hear Def Leppard and Motley Crue and a bunch of bands who we don't necessarily sing. When you enter the theater, they're playing on a playlist, so you'll hear everything.
It must have been really hard for the producers to get those rights, not only expensive to clear the songs, but you're dealing with all those major rock egos. What kind of insights or stories do you have to tell us about that?
Well, you know, it's true. The show started off as a small off-Broadway show, and most people in the theater industry referred to Rock of Ages as the little show that could, because no one really thought, you know, okay, so 30, 80 songs, you know, kind of smashed together in a two-hour show with like a generic plot. And, you know, I mean, no one really thought that this would be as successful as it is, you know. And, I mean, 3 years later, it's Tony nominated for Best Musical, Best Director, Best Actor. It's, you know, opening a show in Vegas, a second national tour. It's been in Canada. It's going on a cruise ship. Like, they had a movie with Tom Cruise. So no one expected it to do that well. So, but when they started, you know, and they were trying to get the rights for all the songs and whatnot, I guess they approached Def Leppard, and Def Leppard was like, oh, I don't know if we want, you know, some music theater play to mess our music up. And I guess 2 years later, after seeing how successful it was, and when they made the movie, Def Leppard was like, okay, no, we're good. You know, put our songs in the movie. So actually, there are some Def Leppard songs in the movie, which is pretty funny. But we make a pretty good joke out of not having their stuff in our show. So it worked out for the best.
I'm sure it did. And on a personal note, you've climbed a lot of theatrical mountains already for a young actor. What do you have your sights on? What roles do you want to play that you haven't played yet?
You know, there was a show on Broadway called Ghost, and that was recently, and that's something that I loved. I was inspired by the show. I luckily got a chance to see that, so I would love to play some of the roles in that show. You know, I've always loved Chris and Miss Saigon. That was kind of my first love in theater. You know, I'd love to go and play Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar again, but, you know, I love performing, and so I love playing any role. I just love working, and I love getting to do what I get to do. And, you know, my first job out of college was playing Stevie Wonder and Freddie Mercury, two of my idols. I got to play the two of them in my first job out of college. So at the time I said, wow, if my career, I don't know how my career could get any better than this. And then along came Drew in Rock of Ages, and the same thing, I said to myself, wow, screaming in front of 6,000 people a night. I mean, I'm a rock guy doing rock music. I book this rock show. I sing like a multitude of songs, you know, like the entire 80s canon. Like, it can't get better than this. So, you know, I guess I've been very fortunate in that my career keeps trumping itself each time. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, we can hear the enthusiasm in your voice, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dominique, for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you so much.
You can see Dominique Scott and Rock of Ages right here in Miami at the Arts Center. It opens October 9th and runs through the 14th. It's part of the Broadway in Miami series. Later in the season, they'll present Stomp in December, Mary Poppins in January, and then in February, Les Mis opens, followed by Fella in March, and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert in April. Finally, in May, Memphis closes out the season. You can buy tickets by calling 305-949-6722 or log on to arcenter.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist and executive producer who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. She has produced documentaries for WNET and is currently a contributor to WLRN-TV, Channel 17. We'll be back with more South Florida Arts Beat exclusively on WLRN right after these messages. Thank you. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Andy, how are the beautiful Florida Keys doing?
And the Florida Keys are doing great. We are now, of course, into October. And I always thought that it was supposed to be the slow time of year, like August, September. But you know what? We were just chock full of activities the last couple of months, and now we're getting back into the season again.
I want to hear all about it.
Well, I'll tell you something. Let's go ahead and get right into it. And, of course, one of my favorite times of the year coming up here, beginning on Monday, October 15th, will be legal again for our commercial fishermen to capture stone crabs. Now, of course, the great thing about stone crabs is that it's a renewable fishery. And anticipating the beginning of stone crab season, I'm also anticipating the second annual stone crab claw eating contest.
Mm.
And this is going to take place Saturday, October 20th. It'll be a Keys Fisheries in Marathon, okay? And it's a $25 entry fee per contestant. Folks have got to be at least 18-year-olds to enter. It'll start around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Each contestant will get a finite number of stone crab claws that he has to crack and consume. And I mean, it's, every little morsel has got to be consumed. And the person with the fastest time wins the contest. But I'll tell you something. All the contestants are winners, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. What would you rather eat, a bunch of hot dogs or stone crab claws?
Oh, please. No contest.
There is no contest whatsoever. And talking about the SEAD, the History of Diving Museum, is continuing its 2012 Immerse Yourself series with a free special event, and it'll focus on Art McKee and the treasure divers.
Mm.
Art McKee, Ed, if you don't know, is really the father of modern treasure diving. And this presentation will be presented by Dr. Sally Bauer, museum founder. Events start at 7 o'clock at the Diving Museum, located at mile marker 83 in Alamorada. Up in Key Largo, October 18th to the 21st, it's the Key Largo Pirates Festival. Costume contest, walk the plank, rum tasting, a pirate show, a thieves market, even underwater poker, and so much more at the Key Largo Pirates Fest, again, October 18th to the 21st.
Sounds like fun.
And still maintaining the theme of oceans in Key West, a wild and scenic film festival 2012. It's going to be presented by Reef Relief. It'll be at the Tropic Cinema on October 18th, beginning at 7 o'clock in the evening. Up in Alamorada, that same day, Ed, October 18th, it's the Morada Way Arts and Cultural District and their monthly Third Thursday Art Walk. It showcases the fine arts, music, and the culinary nuances of the Purple Isles. And, of course, that Alamorada Way Arts and Cultural District is situated on the ocean side of US 1 between mile marker 81 and 82. It's a great event. We're coming into the fall and winter season. The place will be just oozing with art and music and some really good food to sample.
Mm.
Now, talking about music, let's move up the Keys just a little bit further to Key Largo, October 19th to the 20th. It's a downtown Key Largo Songfest. It's a weekend musical event. It'll include three live venues of more than a dozen entertainers playing simultaneously during the weekend. So check out the downtown Key Largo Songfest.
Wow.
And when you talk about October in the Florida Keys, you've got to think about Key West Fantasy Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And Fantasy Fest begins October 19th, continues through the 28th. It is an outrageous 10-day celebration. There's costume competitions, there's promenades, street fairs, a grand parade with marching groups. Ed, do you know what this year's theme is? I call it a Conkalypse.
What a name. I love it.
What a name. But I'll tell you something, the fun is nonstop. Some of the highlights include the Captain Morgan Fantasy Fest Parade on Saturday, October 27th. There is the pet masquerade at the Casa Marina, the Pretenders in Paradise costume contest at the Pier House. One of my favorite events is a masquerade march on Friday, October 26th. It's so much fun. If you never have been to Fantasy Fest, you must go at least one year. It's on the bucket list of everybody in South Florida.
It sure is.
And then talking about Halloween, how about an unusual activity in Key Largo on October 21st? It is the annual Underwater Pumpkin Carving Contest.
Sounds like fun, Andy. What's that all about?
Well, I'll tell you something. You see, divers get a chance to become underwater artists as they turn pumpkins into Halloween masterpieces beneath the sea in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. There's all kinds of prizes, such as dive trips. And I'll tell you something, it's just another one of those wacky underwater events in the Florida Keys. You know, think about it. Underwater music festival, underwater Santa Claus, underwater Easter Bunny. You know what? You got to have an underwater pumpkin carving contest.
To add to the underwater Elvis.
That's the underwater Elvis, too. You got that right, too. Okay.
Andy, that seems to wrap up just some of the great events for October in the beautiful Florida Keys. How about November?
Well, let's peer a little bit into November here, Ed. And Key West, on November 1st to the 4th, finds us at the 21st annual Parrot Heads in Key West, the Meeting of the Minds convention. And, of course, we're talking about the fans of singer, songwriter, author Jimmy Buffett. You know what? They are known as Parrot Heads. They make their annual pilgrimage to the subtropical island that inspired so many of Buffett's hits. I mean, let's face it, this is how Key West became Margaritaville.
Seems like a convention nowadays.
Yes, it is. No, I didn't know what. It is. Actually, Ed, you know what? It almost is a convention because what you've got, you have all of these Buffett fans, and not only do they share the appreciation for Buffett's music and the tropical lifestyle that it promotes, but these Parrot Head Club members actually focus on charitable, environmental, educational, and humanitarian activities. So it really is more than just a event to kick back and listen to Jimmy Buffett's music.
Bravo, Parrot Heads.
Boy, you just in the rare form today.
I'm sorry.
I should also add, by the way, last year Jimmy Buffett actually made an appearance during the Duval Street concert. And you know, it's not announced, so it just sort of happens, and you never really know if Jimmy Buffett's going to attend or not, but when he does, it's a huge surprise and very much appreciated by the Parrot Heads.
You know, we just had James Taylor pop up in Hollywood at the local Democratic office, and hey, Jimmy, it's your time now, buddy.
Absolutely. And just a couple other events to quickly note. November 2nd to the 3rd, the Marathon Community Theater is presenting Hats Off to Broadway just for one weekend only. We've got November 2nd to the 4th in Almirada, the Redbone Celebrity Tournament. This is the 25th anniversary of the Redbone Tournament Series, and we're really talking about this because they've done such tremendous work to raise funds for cystic fibrosis research and treatment. November 3rd to the 12th throughout the entire Florida Keys, it's the Bubba Fest Bike Fest Tours, an opportunity to ride from one end to the Keys to the other on your bicycle. There actually is a gentleman by the name of Bubba, by the way.
I'm sure.
Okay, Bubba Bike Fest, and Bubba takes care of organizing the entire event, and a really good time to be biking throughout the Florida Keys in November. Temperatures have cooled down, and really, really lovely opportunity. November 4th to the 11th in Key West, it's the annual Key West World Championship Offshore Powerboat Race. These boats are very fast, running anywhere from 135 to 150 miles an hour as they thunder through Key West Harbor. It's the reason why Key West is known internationally as the Indianapolis 500 of powerboat racing. And then finally, Ed, November 8th, the Key Largo Chamber of Commerce 31st Annual Cook-Off. It's a culinary competition that's open to professional and amateur cooks and chefs, as well as young aspiring chefs. And of course, Ed, so many more events that we haven't even had a chance to talk about. They're on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com.
Andy Newman always has great event suggestions for your consideration. That's Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Great weekend to you, sir.
And to you, sir.
And if I may, let me add, this Sunday, October 7th, it's a Day at the Beach concert series at the beautiful North Beach Bandshell to celebrate 10 years of Community Arts and Culture and Hispanic Heritage Month. Many great local bands performing, including Miami Beach High Rock Ensemble. DJ La Spam will be there, and there will be an all-star jam session. And that's once again at North Beach Bandshell this Sunday from 3 to 10 p.m. It's all ages. It's free. And the Bandshell is located at 7275 Collins Avenue on the beach. Go to communityartsandculture.org for more info. And the Miami Beach Arts Trust presents Stepping Out for the Arts Luncheon October 18th at the Hyatt Regency downtown Miami. The Master of Ceremonies, George Neary of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau, and the keynote address delivered by Dennis Scholl of the Knight Foundation. That's on the 18th. And for more info, go to arts-business-miami@att.net or call 305-326-1021. And we'd like to thank you so much for your kind and generous contributions made during our fundraiser. We greatly appreciate your wonderful support of public radio and the arts. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. That's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Judith Bishop, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.